On behalf of Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power Calls, I'm your host, Susan Schirico. Welcome. I'm delighted to have you join us today because we're going to be exploring a writer's journey. It's the journey of Sean Williams. And when we finish our chat, if you find yourself dreaming of having a similar journey, make sure you listen at the end and I'll tell you how you might follow up on that. But for right now, welcome to the show. Let me welcome Sean. Hello, Sean. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much for having me.
I'm delighted to have you. I know you're coming in all the way from Australia. I know you are the author of a children's book that's called Fashion Fairies.
Yes.
And you have written several other books like this. They are children's books. So yep. We want to learn all about, you know, this man behind the books. Right, guys, wave your hands. Let's welcome Sean with a royal welcome.
Thank you.
Sean, since you have written several books now, is this your full-time job?
No, I wish it could be, but no, I'm still working in the butchering industry. And one day I hope it will. I'll be able to semi-retire from that and just go out to the family property and raise cattle, but not there yet.
Wow! How big is the family property that you have cattle?
Just a small property by Australian standards. It's just 100 acres.
Oh.
And.
that's even a small amount by U.S. standards.
Yes,
we manage a ranch that's 2,400 acres.
Yeah.
And we don't do it all the time. All we do is for movies. We have movies come out and do westerns on it.
Oh, okay.
But it's just an empty space, nothing on it at all. Well,
yes, my ex-wife, she was English, and whenever I said it was only 100 acres, she looked at me very puzzled, like, how can you call that amount of land only? Like, well,
I feel that way about the people who have the really big ranches and the tens of thousands of acres in the West, you know, in Wyoming,
yes,
Montana. Yeah. That's a big ranch.
yeah, we've got... one of my dad's friends works on a property that's about half the size of Switzerland.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, I forget the number, but he just says, oh, it's only this
half
big.
That's pretty intense. So what inspired you to write all these children's books?
Working with the public for, you know, ever since I was like 14, you just build up a rapport and a relationship with your customers and you hear stories. And some of them were very funny and I just remembered them. And you repeat them and people say, you got to write these down. You got to write these down.
So when did you actually begin to do that?
My eldest daughter was about 3 and we were watching a David Attenborough documentary about monkeys. And she knew that she had a great grandmother that lived in South Africa.
Ah, okay.
And she just said to me, how far away does Nana live from the monkeys? And I said, well, your Nana actually lives in a big tree with the monkeys. And it all started to snowball from there. And I had to start writing them down because she got sick of hearing the same ones over and over again. And that sort of evolved into my first book.
Your first book. That's pretty wild. So these books, that they are for children, are they all illustrated? Yeah.
Yes. The ones that I got published, I didn't draw them myself. I just told the illustrator that I was assigned what I would like to see, and the back and to process from there. But as someone that had a lot of trouble reading at school, I wanted the illustrations to be big, bright, in detail, because from personal experience, if the picture didn't capture my imagination, I wouldn't bother reading the words.
Oh, wow. So that
was something I wanted to, you know,
you wanted to attract the readers who might not be great readers to come and try it. Yeah, that's awesome. So which one of your books is the first one?
The first one was this one.
What will tour the Illawarra Tamara? So did I say it right?
Tamara.
Illawarra Tamara.
Yeah. Working on your Australian accent. The Illawarra is the region I was born and grew up in. And when I was told, because we were a working class region, a lot of coal miners, railway workers, steel workers, your town isn't interesting enough to write about. And I just took great offence to that and basically wrote the book out of spite. Spite is a marvellous motivator. And I went around to all the places that I wrote about with my son, and he was into photography at the time, and I took photos of the places I wanted my illustrators to draw, so they were accurate. And I think I've sold 1,000 copies, and it's been sent to about 24 different countries. Just like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, my niece had her fourth class teacher came from Texas, and he said, tell your Uncle Sean I want to buy two books to send home to my nieces, so when they come out here on holiday, they know what they're going to see. And just a lot of people with relatives overseas that live in the area bought the book and send it.
Had a great success. I mean, that's a good number of books to cop, you know, for a first-time author. Are you self-published?
I've published the Nannanelli series through a company called Little Steps. They're partnership publishers, and Fashion Fairies and Pixie Punks is with Book Trail Agency. And I think, they're self-published, those two.
Okay. So what is Pixie Punks?
Pixie Punks and Fashion Fairies. That's Fashion Fairies. A group of fairies that like to make pretty dresses and make everything look beautiful. And the Pixie Punks... Pixies are a little bit more troublemakers and like to break things and destroy things.
Well, now, what is it about pixies and fairies that make them so popular? I mean, everybody loves fairies.
There's just so much you can do with them. It's fantasy and mythology, and you can just you can do anything with them. I saw a children's book I wish I'd written, because I read part of it and it was so funny, and it's like fairies do fart. Ozzy Osbourne wrote a song, Fairies Wear Boots.
You can do anything. Okay.
Well, I came up with my idea because my wife at the time worked in a shop called Fashion Fair. And one day I just said, you know, she came home from work and I give her a kiss on the cheek and I said, how's my little fashion fairy? And that's where I got the name from.
I seem to remember when we talked at our first interview, you were telling me how fashion fairies sort of happened when you were going, it was developing while everybody was on lockdown during COVID. And one of the interesting notes you made or told me about was about a family that came from, was it North Carolina?
North Carolina, yes.
And came and actually went and was around you while you were actually working on fashion.
The mother brought my Illawarra Tomorrow book, and they went around all the places I mentioned because early on in lockdown, you were still allowed to go around the town, but you couldn't leave the area. You couldn't go to Sydney. You couldn't go, but you still were allowed to go around because at that time, COVID wasn't in my area and they were trying to do their best to keep it out. And, she bought 15 or 20 books to take back with her. And I gave them the sequel, Australian Adventure, as a take-home present for little Zella. And I told my publisher about it and I said, make Zella a fashion fairy. And where are we? And there she is.
And there she is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. And does she recognize herself in it?
I assume you sent her a copy. Yes, I sent her a copy, and I sent her mum an email and said what I wanted to do, and then when the picture came, I sent the picture to her, and over the moon about it.
Oh, that's wonderful! Absolutely wonderful. Now you are. I was thinking about this that your Nana. You were joking about the monkeys and her living in a tree.
Yeah.
But was she from South Africa or is that part of the story?
No. My first wife's grandmother is South African. And her mother migrated out here. My first wife's mother migrated out here. And so the kids always knew they had a grandmother that lived in Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3 years old, they don't know the difference between countries.
And tell me about how wild and wonderful Nana Nelly is. She lives in a tree with monkeys. What else does she do?
I'm trying to think what she does now in Africa. I'm trying to remember
how to tell you. She drives in Africa.
Yeah, she drives a Jeep. She's got a red Jeep. She's got a red hot air balloon. I'm trying to remember the rhyme.
Are they all poetry?
Yes, it's all poetry. Let's see a verse. My Nana Nelly lives in Africa across the ocean blue. My Nana Nelly, who lives in Africa, has so many things she has to do. She has to feed her hippo, tackle her jackal, and make sure the rhino make sure the rhinos do as they're told and knit scarves for her giraffes so they don't catch a cold.
And when did the kids catch on that this wasn't real?
Eventually.
Eventually? Do you think they caught on early and didn't want to tell you?
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did double check everything with their mother, and she was not as enthusiastic about it as they were.
Now, I know that you guys, this was all happening while you guys were on shutdown, COVID lockdown. But what did you do all that time to fill the void of hours?
Constantly reading and rereading my work until I got it right. And one of the things I found helpful was I knew something was right if I could kind of sing it like a song and not bleh, 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 mess up my words.
Mm-hmm.
And more writing and more writing, and that idea's no good. That, you know, and
was this also a good time to begin marketing and developing cool strategies for marketing?
It was a good time to plan, but in the midst of COVID, you know, I became unemployed 2 times. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, that wasn't, in one way, it was a good time, but if you don't have the money to do it, it's a pretty bad time.
Yes.
Yes.
I know it was, I think you mentioned to me something about creating merchandising like dolls or toys that would tie into your books.
Yeah.
That would probably fall in that category. If it takes money to make money at that point.
Yeah. That's eventually what I'd like to do, especially with the fashion fairy, mm-hmm. or the pretend land series.
Right.
Dolls and the old dresses and toys and all that sort of thing. Halloween. I never thought of that. Halloween's a fairly new thing in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's like when I was growing up, the only time you ever saw it was, you know, when you watched a show about America that Halloween was mentioned in it. And, you know, I always had said to me, Mum, how come we don't do that over here? And Mum's like, well, I don't know. But, yeah, in the last 10 to 20 years, it's kind of picked up a bit, and, okay. You know, kids will come around and knock on your door and accompanied by their parents and that. So it's a bit of fun.
It is a bit of fun. It would fit into your fashion fairy world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, where are your books available now?
At the moment, they're available on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Through okay. Book Trail Agency. Yeah.
Okay.
And
do you also go out to book fairs and things like that where you can buy them?
I would like to start like going to open market days and sell my books there, but circumstances kind of got in the way of that, you know, the COVID lockdown and having to find a new job and my wife Linda at the time had been very sick and we had to sort of take care of that first. So yeah, kind of life got in the way a bit, but
life, you know, can get in the way. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But you know,
it's like, you look happy, you look as if you've weathered it all well.
Well, that's it. It's just like, you know, you've got to, you know, sometimes you have to put things on the back burner and you know, you always get the chance to go back to them later. So, you know, don't get discouraged.
So yeah. What would you like to have happen with the series? I mean, these are a series of books, both the Nanny,
Nana Nelly and the Fashion Pretend Land. And I do have another series that I have yet to publish, and it's called I Don't Wanna.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about a little boy that's experiencing life, and he's telling his mum, like, "Mum, I don't want to let my lizard go yet. You know, why won't you let me have a pet?" How does this go? How long is Dad's anger going to last? I know he made such a fuss the time I brought home that big walrus, and he made such a big deal when I brought home the leopard seal and the electric eel. But Mum, you have to admit, the great white shark was super cool, and there was plenty of room for all of them in the swimming pool. And that made the old crocodile smile, because he'd been alone in there for such a long while and was in desperate need of a friend. And you should have seen the look on Dad's face when he jumped in the deep end. I didn't know Dad could swim like that. You should have seen him go. He tore through the water faster than a torpedo. Then he went all silly and started acting like a goof, climbing up and hiding on the next door neighbor's roof. So, yeah.
That's a great way with words. They are charming rhymes.
Yeah, lovely.
I like that. I love them. Well, so when do you think they'll go out? Will it be a while yet?
It will be a while yet. So, yeah,
but they're fun. They're lots of fun, I can tell. You have a great time writing them.
I do. And, like, yeah. when I was growing up, like, I was an uncle when I was a teenager. Like, my sister is a lot older than me, so, and she had all girls. And, you know, it was just fun to make up stories and make up rhymes and make them laugh. And, you know, and then when they come back around, yeah, well, Uncle Sean's going to tell me another story. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be funny.
Funny? Uncle Sean doesn't know what it is either.
No, just make it up as I go along. And
that's wonderful.
You know, and when...
You must have been a fun Uncle Sean.
Oh, not from what my sister said, you know. It was like... Who taught my daughters how to fight with swords? It's like, they were only plastic swords.
Yes, you know, I see.
Why did you let my daughter pick up an octopus? Well, it was there, you know?
I see, yeah. That's great. Your elder sibling did not appreciate it. That's very funny. Okay, so tell me. What kind of message do you have for your readers? What would you like, or our listeners too? You know, what would you like them to know?
Well, like one of the, even though I had so much trouble reading, one of the things I did enjoy was sitting on my sister's knee or my mum's knee and being read to, and not just being read to, but having certain things explained to me in greater detail, so you got more into the story. It's such a nice, relaxing time to sit down with someone and just read a book to them. And like my daughters loved me to read that story, Bears in the Night, because we didn't just read it, we acted it out. And my wife would be like, don't let them climb out of the window. But it was fun. The book says you climb out the window. So we climbed out the window.
Oh, my gosh.
And I set up a small swimming pool in the backyard and we ran around the lake. And, you know, they still remember it.
Of course they do. Because that's real. That's that's taking what is fiction and making it real in the land of pretend.
Yes, yeah, and that's you build memories, you build an interest, and
You know, you don't just build memories, you build their imagination.
That's right.
It's the most powerful thing we have to create everything we want in life is to have that imagination.
And like put down the iPad. Get off the video games and go and create. That's like when my grandchildren were younger, my stepson said to me, "How come their iPads come back fully charged?" I said, "Because we don't use them." It's like, what do you do? It's like we go outside and we throw a frisbee and we look for frogs in the creek and, you know, I make up silly stories. And, you know, we go to the duck pond and feed the ducks. And,
mm-hmm. and all awesome. Yes. That's retro. I mean, that's really not what kids do now.
No. And
they're
it's
in those tablets all the time or on their cell phones.
Yeah. And like, you know, look for birds. And I took my granddaughter once to the duck pond and her favorite duck wasn't there. And she called it Tommy. Uh-huh. And I made up a story about Tommy the duck that got on a truck and went to Lake Burrinjuck.
And then she wasn't upset anymore because she had a rhyme about where he had gone.
Yeah, and there is actually a lake called Burrinjuck. And I think a few years, like when she was a lot older, she went there in a school excursion and, you know, she told me that, you know, she went there and she kind of remembered Tommy because she was only 3 at the time and now she's like, at the time she went there, she was like 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And she's like, mm-hmm. I remember you telling me that this is where Tommy went to and I haven't had a look around, but, you know, I couldn't see him, and you know, it was a long time ago, but it just.
It was a memory.
That's it was wonderful. A memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, in the land of imagination, it really doesn't matter if it's real or not. It becomes real because it's in your mind. You
know? That's right.
That's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And.
Well, thank you. So much for being with us, Sean. You know,
my pleasure.
Let me tell our listeners that we've been speaking with Sean Williams about your various children's books. I mean, we've got Fashion Fairies, Pixie Punks, Nana Nelly's Australian Adventure, and now you have a new one that's, you know, percolating around, waiting to get put onto paper. And they can find them all on Amazon.
Yeah.
Wherever they are. Okay. Well, thank you so much, everyone in our audience, for listening. And thank you for coming, Sean, that it's been a treat. You are a charming human being with a great sense of humor and delightful wit. It's wonderful. As I mentioned earlier, if you feel called, dear audience, to your special genius, journeys, the things that somehow fill your imagination, whether written or something else, reach out to me at discoverycallwithsusan.com and we can talk about what it is you're trying to discover for yourself. So as we bring this call in for a landing, thanks again for dropping by and having a piece of apple pie.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye. Yes, thank you, Sean. Bye for now, and have a great day.